Welcome to another amazing episode of the Path to Podcast Success with your host, audience building and fear-crushing podcast expert, Evan Bradley Johnson. Every single week, Evan has powerful conversations with successful entrepreneurs and business owners, revealing the podcast strategies they use to grow their subscribers and sales, and how you can use your podcast to finally get to that next level. Now, turn on your mic and let's start down the path to podcast success.
Okay, welcome everyone to another very exciting episode of Path to Podcast Success. It's so funny. I say this every single episode, but it always ends up being true. I am very excited to have this guest on the podcast today. I think all of you listeners are in for a real treat. If our pre-show conversation is of any indication, we seem to be of a similar mind when it comes to just kind of conversation, and I resonate with your vibe very much. And so I would very happily like to welcome you, Georgia, to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here too.
So I like to start off in the same place with all of my guests, and that is by making sure that all the listeners are on the same page. And so for those who don't know who you are, go ahead and tell us in your own words, what is it that you do?
Well, I am a digital strategist. I help people with their marketing and tech. And in particular, I do this for businesses that are in restricted niches or stigmatized and controversial spaces. I found myself here through a long winding path that we can talk about if we like on the show. I help people who struggle to advertise like through normal means, or who have difficulty with shadow bans, or just like dealing with all of those loops and red tape. And I like to help amplify the voices of business owners who are trying to push boundaries and make change. You know, I like working with people that are there at the edge of social norms and sort of building the future for us all. So that's what I do. I do marketing and tech for all of those people.
That is very interesting. Is it like a done for you service then, where you go in, you and your team or whatever, and you look at everything and you make sure everything's flowing smoothly?
It used to be. I did do a lot of done for you over the years, but now I am almost exclusively in strategy, consulting, teaching. I have a lot of people I can refer out to that follow the same methods as me if someone needs implementation help. But right. The space I have ended up in is where I come in. Usually it's a business that they're often on a transition point. You know, they've got a certain amount of things in place, but now they're trying to go to the next level, whatever that looks like for them.
Right.
And so I come in and I kind of turn everything upside down. My clients describe it like I rummage through their handbag and turn it upside down and all the coins come out, and I just reassemble it into something golden sparkly. So it really is nothing off the table. I will look at online and offline strategies. I will look at efficiencies in how their workflow is, just anything really related to tech or marketing. I am there to give them the big picture vision and the how-to details. I go into quite a lot of blueprinting and road mapping and calendaring with people, whatever it is that they need.
Yeah. Okay. I've noticed that to be a recurring theme recently on my podcast. I'm talking to a lot of people where you really show that that kind of natural evolution of business, where you start out, you have the skill that you're going to market, you do it for other people, people pay you to do it, and then people will, and then like the next step that happens usually pretty naturally is then move into consulting, either to replace the done for you like you've done, or I've also talked to people where they kind of add it to what they're doing, and it's mm-hmm. coming up to the point where it's like it's matching the done for you, like, you know, agency or whatever, in terms of revenue. And I think that's an interesting progression that people don't really I've heard people really kind of highlight that, but it's something I see to happen a lot across the board because when people recognize that you are an expert in something, they're going to want to learn from you. And I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and it does happen organically, like you say, because even like going back a couple of stages, each new tier, if you will, of business that I have grown into has happened out of seeing a need and just itching to fill it. You know, I was originally a web designer, and then my web client said, "Hey, how do I get traffic to my website?" So then this is way back, I was doing SEO and blogging kind of pre-social media days. Then obviously moved into social media. I've got a whole background in all these different tech and writing things from corporate. And so I would find myself working with clients originally for some limited scope, like let's grow your social media or whatever it is. And I would find myself giving them all kinds of different tips and strategies. And yeah, before I knew it, it sort of just made a lot more sense for me to do that. That seemed to be where I was more helpful.
Right. And it's funny when you see that begin to happen, people will start to approach you and start asking about this, and it's just kind of a natural progression, which I think is very interesting to see that play out for different people and different, industries and all that kind of stuff. So I did want to ask you though, and you mentioned that there's a bit of a story behind this, and I am very curious to hear. So you are doing the strategy work with entrepreneurs. Is it primarily entrepreneurs that you work with?
It is. It's mostly freelancers, solopreneurs, a couple of people who might have a small business of, you know, two to
Right.
five. Yep.
And so you go in and you really help them get organized in terms of advertising and really help them grow. Why advertising? Why are you doing this?
Well, it's not something I actually saw myself in my earlier days. You know, it's something that I came to quite naturally because it was the culmination of all the other things that I liked in my life. I loved theater and performance and sort of drama and any kind of performance art, really. And I loved fitness and movement and the human body. And I loved writing and reading and learning. And then I loved computers and data analysis and automation. And it felt like I was just jumping from thing to thing. It felt very chaotic, if you will. Like I was in my 20s, I can throw caution to the wind, I can just do what I'm drawn to. And then something clicked where I started to see all of the connecting pieces between all of those things. And that's really where marketing is. Like marketing is this hub where we have to communicate with people. It's based on communication. It's about communicating ideas and messages, but it's also got this whole tech underlayer that you have to understand. It's also got psychology and sort of this understanding of how human behavior and group behavior. And then you have as well the stuff I learned being a business owner, you know, doing this for myself as a freelancer. I then started to see all of the sort of business growth stuff that comes in with marketing. Like you can't separate them really. You can if you want to specialize, but I just kept on seeing more ways that all these things connected together. And so I ended up struggling at first to give myself a name, but I guess it's marketing strategist does sort of sum up, at least, or digital strategist sums it up the best that I can at the moment.
So you went through a journey in your 20s, trying different things, exploring different passions and interests, and then eventually you realized that marketing was kind of the intersection of all those different interests, and it had all of those
Yeah,
parts.
exactly. And I originally started off with a sort of clear career path, as do most people who graduate from university and have their like little life plan arranged. And I was only a year into my first full-time job when I gave in my notice and went to work full-time at a pole dancing studio where I was teaching at the time. So that was something I took up as a fitness pursuit. I've been doing it for years for fun and as a hobby, and that had then grown into me teaching a bit and performing a bit on weekends and on evenings. And it reached this point where I couldn't fit it all in, and it was the corporate job that I said goodbye to. And I then became full-time pole dance co-studio owner, and did that for about 6 years, like a bricks and mortar business. I kind of know, like everyone else, the people I work with, I know what it's like to be a business owner and be trying to do all the things. That's where my love of marketing really blossomed, because I had to do whatever I could to promote this studio and make ends meet.
Right. You learned about marketing and various concepts and things kind of in the weeds. You were in the trenches doing it for your first brick and mortar business.
That's right. I wish I knew then some of the things that I've learned since. It would have made things easier. But now I can share that with other studio owners and other business owners. Yep.
that's usually how it works. Mm-hmm. We would all like to give our younger selves some of the knowledge we have now to make things a bit easier. But hey, if it happened any differently, you wouldn't be where you are today, and you wouldn't have learned all that stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's good fun. I think a lot of the mistakes, and I wouldn't even call them mistakes, because at the time, like I said, it felt a bit directionless. But looking back, it was so clearly a little like stepping stones, all building in a row. So yeah, I wouldn't change any of it. Some of the unexpected things were some of the best things.
Exactly. That's usually how that works. Which is kind of funny. You don't think about it, but it is.
Yeah.
Did you quit the brick and mortar business, the pole dancing studio that you had, and then like the next step was the marketing, or what was the timeline like?
So the transition there was interesting. I was about 6 years full time, and then I missed some of my, I guess, origins or roots, if you will. I wanted to get a bit more of my teeth into tech again. I had studied that at uni and I did really enjoy it. And I got to do a little bit of it when I was running the studio. I would still freelance and make a website here and there. But I had this itch to go back into that world. And my plan was to do that part-time, which I did at first, but then that kind of grew into a bigger opportunity. So I was transitioning out of, I wasn't the studio manager anymore, but I was still teaching and, you know, so kind of doing both things again, like I was at the beginning, but now in the reverse. Now the pole studio was back on the side and the tech thing was the bigger picture. And I did that for about a year, kind of with the intention to just level up. Like, I didn't really want to stay in corporate. I wanted to go back into tech and I wanted to see what else was out there for me, but I kind of knew that I was going to be running my own business or doing something different. I'm not really the 9-to-5 kind of person. So I just funneled a lot of the money that I was making in my corporate job, nice high paying position compared to, you know, trying to run a bricks and mortar and do all the things. It was a nice vacation. And I put all that money into mentorship, and like I properly this time invested in being a business owner and understanding how to actually grow a business, perhaps not just from the grassroots and figuring it out, but from having some guidance and some systems.
Right.
And that worked really well. I then quit my job at the end of the contract that I was doing for the corporate thing and decided to go full time in my own business right before my husband then got a job offer to move over to the other side of the world. So that was unplanned, and I had just quit everything and I was like, oh, okay, well, I guess I work for myself now so I can move overseas. That's fine. And kind of just, rebuilt from there.
That is a really cool progression. I like that a lot. That's a good cross section of kind of a good way to, you know, grow into entrepreneurship. I like how you are an example of how you don't have to quit and burn all the boats in order to dive into entrepreneurship. Like, it was a gradual progression for you. Not that it was easy by any means, but it was still a gradual progression. Whereas I know there are people out there who are like, if you're going to do this, you got to just cut everything else and burn all the boats and then just dive in, you know, head first. And like, okay, well, That may work for some people, but it's not like you can't be successful slowly bringing it up from like a kind of side hustle thing into the main, into the main gig.
Yeah, exactly. And the side hustle changed so much itself over the years. If I had kind of gone all in at the beginning, I would have been trying to build a done for you web design and marketing agency. And that's not really, turns out, not really what I wanted in the end. So it's right. kind of nice to get a chance to do it on the side and see where it takes you before you jump all in.
Yeah, it's a no pressure way to explore your interests and passions, which I think is pretty cool. And now you've been able to find success, which I think is incredible. Mm-hmm. And you have also decided to add a podcast into what you're doing.
Yes. And
I would love to hear a little bit about that, because it's not often I get a true podcast. I guess newbie is not the right word, because it makes it seem like you're just kind of inexperienced, but you were just starting your podcast like now.
Yeah, and it is the first podcast I've ever made for myself. I've helped plenty of clients strategize their podcasts and repurpose their podcast content and all the rest. I way back in the day, I studied journalism and I worked in a newsroom briefly. And so I've done a radio show type podcasting, if you will. So none of it is brand new, but it is the first time that it's me doing it for myself. And at the moment, it is just me. I'm going to have to get an editor and a manager and all the other things. But this had been a thing I wanted to do for a long time. I've had a lot of different visions, dreams, whatever, if you will, of the podcast and the YouTube show and all the things that I want to do and people I want to speak to. And at one point, my business mentorship group just said, like, when are you going to do it, Georgia? Like, you just keep talking about it. So we made a date, and that date was a couple of days ago. So I've launched.
Nice. That is very exciting. So you've been wanting to have a podcast for a while, but the idea never formed totally until now. You mm-hmm. kind of got that kick in the pants from the group that you're in.
That's
and
right.
how you started it. So why though? Why did you think a podcast would be good for you and your business?
Well, I love relationship marketing and value-based marketing, which maybe sounds like a tangent, but that's it. That's where I really found myself, and I found how I could help my clients the most. It's in educating other people. It's in serving and like showing up and being visible on whatever platform and format you choose. But I've found that I just really enjoy making content. I've loved doing training videos. I've loved being a guest on podcasts. And it became clear that I couldn't help as many people as I wanted to in this one-to-one fashion anymore. You know, I thought at first, I can't help enough people just doing the hands-on work. Let me move into strategy. And that scaled to a certain point. And now it's like, actually, I want to help on a bigger picture strategy. I want to be able to reach people who maybe can't afford to pay for me to do a deep dive, you know, intensive marketing strategy with them. I still want to share this knowledge. And I'm just so excited to see the people grow. The people who I help, I love seeing where they go. It just right. really makes me happy. So, yeah, so a podcast yeah. seems like the logical next step to reach more people and get to talk about a whole bunch of things that my husband gets sick of hearing me talk about. So I can talk to other people about it instead.
That is awesome. And I need to highlight relation on a podcast about podcasting and business, which is what this is. Relationships and value-based marketing is in no way a tangent. That is actually the absolute core
that's
of
true
of yeah. what this is and about what I believe mm-hmm. a podcast should be mm-hmm. when it
that's
comes
good.
To business.
That's yeah. reassuring.
No, no, but honestly though, I have found podcasting. People think the only value in podcasting is, oh, if you get sponsorship money or something from it. But it is a catalyst to create incredible relationships, because I would not be talking to you if it wasn't for podcasting, if it wasn't for having you on my podcast. Mm-hmm. Because people aren't very receptive if you just send them a message out of the blue being like, hey, I think you're cool. Can we like get on the call for an hour and talk? Like, no, who what business owner that's not like a week into business is gonna do that? You know, the answer is none. But you know, I got that with you by inviting you on my podcast. And now we're having an incredible conversation. And it's being recorded so that people can listen and find value and spread the brand and all that kind of fun stuff. Mm-hmm. I think it is amazing. Are you planning on doing solo or interview? It sounds like interview because of what you've been saying, but I wanted to ask you specifically.
Both and more. I tend to do interview style, definitely. I have already recorded a couple of interviews with my marketing peers and colleagues. I have been focusing on advice we can give to these boundary pushing business owners to kind of help them with their marketing strategies and tech solutions. So I've been doing some interviews like that, and I intend to keep those going. I also have lined up a couple of interviews with the business owners themselves, the people who are in spaces like sexual wellness and mental health and disability and gender fluidity and all of these sort of spaces that they deal with pushback and they cop a lot of flack, and you know, they kind of are exhausted a lot of the time just trying to deal with the social stigma, let alone deal with actually running their business and growing whatever their vision is. So I want to talk to them. Definitely, they're coming on my show. And then I'll also be talking to myself. I do that often anyway. So I will be kind of digging through things that have happened in the past. I've had a very interesting journey through childhood and teenhood and careerhood and running a pole studio and all the things. So I kind of I've got a bunch of half formed episode ideas and Q&A dot points and stuff in my Google Drive. And I'm just going to be making my way through it and seeing where my inspiration takes me and where my audience wants me to take them.
That is incredible. And I love that you are embracing all these different aspects of how to go about podcasting, because I can't tell you how many people have asked me or asked the podcast community in general, like, oh, what's the best thing to do? Or what should I do? Like, no, shut up. There's no should. There's no best. You can do whatever you want.
That's right.
It's your show.
Yeah. I was trying to come up with a name for my show, and It Depends was one of the front runners, because it depends is what I say so often to my people who want marketing advice. You know, unless I get you one-on-one and I can ask about your business, the answer is going to be it depends. Like, it can go, you can do interview podcasts, or you could do talk to yourself podcasts. You can do storytelling type ones, like audiobook style ones, historical things. You could do fact-based and comedy-based. And I don't want to pigeonhole myself yet. I want to see where that goes. So
yes,
that's my methodology.
That is incredible. And okay, so that is incredible. I could talk to you for hours about all of this stuff. I think it's very interesting, but I want to respect your time and the time of our listeners. So, but there is one last thing that I wanted to ask you about as we begin to wind down the show. And this is very timely, I think, for how new your podcast is and what your entrepreneurial journey has been. I'm very curious to hear your answer. Now that you're starting your podcast, what is your biggest fear about podcasting? And do you think it's going to come true?
Ooh, that's a great question, because I feel like I've just been all systems go and I haven't had time to think about what I might fear even. I know at the moment the most pressing fear is that am I going to be able to stick to my every Monday and Thursday that I've announced, because I only have two in the bag and I've got to get a few more prepared. So definitely I feel like I might struggle with the consistency and the commitment and the actual like doing of the podcast. And beyond that, assuming that I do stick with it, which I should stop talking in such sort of, not what's the word, I should give myself more of a vote of confidence. When I do this podcast every Monday and Thursday, I then suppose worry that people aren't going to be interested in what I have to say and aren't going to be tuning in, and you know, all of the same fears that my clients come to me about when I say, hey, you should start a podcast. It's always these things, but how will I actually get it done? I'm so busy. Will people even listen? Like, and I honestly face the same exact fears, but I'm just doing it anyway.
That is incredible, because I like to ask this question a lot of podcasters who I'm podcasting for months, years. You know, I like to ask it of a lot of my guests, and that's definitely one of the common fears, right? Are people actually going to listen and care? Mm-hmm. And am I going to actually be able to stick with it? Mm-hmm. And the answer is always when I follow up and ask, well, did it come true? No, it didn't. Mm-hmm. It was completely unfounded, and they just mm-hmm. had to dive in and do it. And so it is incredible to hear that that's what you're doing. You're just diving in.
Yeah.
You're doing it anyway.
I think a podcast is sort of that. It's a bit funny because it's like a delayed gratification. You do the recording and you're perhaps by yourself in the studio or with one other person on Zoom, and you don't have the feedback that you do in a live webinar or, you know, in the good old days, actually out on stage or something in person with people. I'm kind of more used to that. I'm a person from a performance background, and so I'm used to reading my audience and going with the flow based in small group sort of situations. And to be behind a microphone and behind a camera is not new, but to be doing that kind of just into the void and then just waiting and hoping to see what happens, that part is new. So
right, that is incredible, and it is amazing that you have been able to, you know, create this for yourself, and you are, I mean, you're doing it, and that is very exciting.
Yep.
Well, thank you so much, Georgia, for being willing to come on the podcast and share these valuable insights and give everyone a glimpse into the world of someone who is just starting a podcast. And, you know, despite fears, I mean, you're just doing it. And that is the most important thing, honestly. Mm-hmm. And so if people are interested in your podcast and in your business and in what you do, where can they find out more about you?
A couple of places. You can check out my website. That's gemocreative.com. So Gemo like Nemo, G-E-M-O, creative. You can also find me on pretty much all social platforms as Georgia Gemo, all one word.
Perfect. All right. Perfect. Thank you. Thank you so much again for being willing to come on the podcast.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this episode and for supporting the Path to Podcast Success Show. If you haven't already, please leave us a 5-star rating and a written review, letting us know what you think of the show so we can bring you the most value we can from these expert podcasters. Your support helps us reach more people looking to step up their podcast game so that they can continue to grow their brand and spread their message. So, again, thank you for listening to this episode of The Path to Podcast Success, and we'll see you in the next episode.